Repeat after me. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. It's almost impossible to say these days with a straight face, or at least without a hint of irony. And if you do say it sincerely, everyone's going to make fun of you. Jedediah Purdy knows exactly how that feels. In 1999, when Purdy was only 23 years old, he wrote a book savaging irony's domination of American culture. It was called For Common Things. After the terrorist attacks of 9/11, Vanity Fair editor Graydon Carter declared that irony was dead. And in the numerous articles that followed, Purdy was often quoted right along with Carter. Today, an older and wiser Purdy still thinks Carter was right.
Especially since he meant, I think, more or less, irony in the sense of the refusal to take things seriously. I think he was referring to the wake-up call that actually life is high stakes and people get killed and terrible things happen and it matters who's running the country. And everything I had been arguing, he suddenly took as obvious. At the same time, he and I think, sort of crossed paths headed in different directions at that moment, because my response was to find the weeks and months after 9/11 a reminder of a kind of object lesson and how important it is to see exactly how messy and complicated and ambiguous things are. Because in a way, the ultimate anti-ironic pronouncement, the sort of commitment to a single view of the world that you're not going to give up or yield or bend, was President Bush's announcement that you're either for us or against us. You're either with us or you're with the enemy. The world got split up into a very simple black and white. And so it seemed to me that even to begin to understand what was going on, you actually needed to have an ironic stance. You needed to be able to talk to people who had cheered when they saw the planes go into the Twin Towers, and who also dreamed of sending their children to study engineering at Rutgers. And if you couldn't hold all those things in your head at once, then you weren't even going to start understanding where this was all coming from. So at the same time that I, in principle, in a sense, I agree with Graydon Carter that all these things are very important, I don't think that taking a black and white line always helps us to do justice to their importance.
In some ways, what you're saying is that the opposite of irony, then, is simplicity.
Well, I think we're coming up against the many meanings of irony here, aren't we? But
yeah.
Certainly the opposite of one very important aspect of irony is simplicity.
Yeah.
And while simplicity may be a very fine thing in certain domains of our lives, it is...
Well, it's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. Exactly. It's impossible.
I'm curious, I guess, especially talking to you now and having read For Common Things, tell me who you were then when you wrote For Common Things. 23,
sure.
24 years old, I know. But what? Mm-hmm. How else would you describe yourself?
Well, I had grown up in rural West Virginia, where I'd been homeschooled on a farm my parents kept until age 13, almost 14. And I'd spent a few years in public school in West Virginia and spent my senior year on scholarship at a boarding school in New England, Phillips Exeter Academy, then went back to West Virginia for a year, worked in environmental politics full-time with a grassroots group, spent a lot of time traveling the state, meeting with people who were involved in mining disputes, chemical pollution, you name it. And then I was off to Harvard for 4 years of college, and it was in the time after that I began writing the book. You know, I think that the book was no doubt deeply shaped by a decade moving from institution to institution which never quite made sense to me. I mean, moving from being homeschooled to the early years of high school in a tough rural public school, going from there to the most Brahmin of the prep schools, which I knew really nothing about before going, but I knew I needed to go somewhere, then dropping back to West Virginia, then off to Harvard, where again I was sort of keenly, constantly aware of not quite knowing what was up in the way that, yeah. that the kids from New York and California knew what was up, or that in which I suspected they knew what was up. I think probably we were really all in it together.
Yeah. Well, looking back at the reaction to For Common Things, there were some, I mean, you talk about mean people suck. There were some very mean reviews.
Yes, that may have brought me around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why was it, do you think, that people had such a strong reaction? Why did they feel so free to attack you?
Well, I think in some ways I had invited it by writing an extremely personal book, an openly personal book, in which I took the personalities of others, their ways of getting around in the world and their ways of thinking about themselves and thinking about other people to task. And there was probably no population more aptly described by my account of the ironic personality than the 20-something and early 30s literati who review books by new authors. So if that book had been designed to infuriate a target audience, that would have been the audience. That was not my thought at the time. You know, looking back at the reviews, I think they could be broadly classed into two groups. One was somewhere between condescending and respectful, but generous and more or less welcoming. And those tended to be penned by people 40 and older, or in a few cases by people my own age in their very early 20s who shared my enthusiasm. And then the really cruel and personal reviews tended to be written by people who fell between those two ranges. And I think those were probably the people who felt identified and called out by the book. And I think that was, in fact, something the book did fairly accurately to describe the self-protective impulses and the limits of a certain kind of crude, ironic manner, but who also, and fair enough, were infuriated by the fact that this pup would manage to give the strong implication that he had figured out the solution to the problem that they were, and that it had something to do with his personality and his unreplicable biography in rural West Virginia. And that, I think that must have struck them as pious and self-satisfied. And although I didn't feel pious and self-satisfied when I wrote those passages, looking back at them now, it's not hard for me to see how they read that way to someone who had just been taken to task for the conduct of their young and fragile lives.
Do you feel a little bit, looking at that Jedediah, as though the word pup is somewhat justified?
Maybe not pup, but... but I was very young, and I was very capable, and the product of those two qualities was uneven, and I was not a very good judge of its uneven qualities.
Can you watch Seinfeld these days with any appreciation?
The funny thing is that I sometimes watched it with a fair amount of appreciation. Even then, I gave the impression that I was on a kind of ingenue's jihad against Seinfeld. And in fact, more than anything, I found the character that Jerry Seinfeld created and played on that show the best concrete instance of what it was I was describing. I said it, and people got it. I didn't despise the show then, and I don't despise it now, though I haven't watched it in probably 6 or 7 years. Jon Stewart, on the other hand, I enjoy and appreciate. And there is a politically engaged irony incarnate and probably productive counterpoint to my old view that you couldn't be, that it was difficult to be ironic and take public things seriously at the same time. Yeah. I think that Jon Stewart's great encounter on Crossfire with Tucker Carlson and the other guy was one of the great reversals in which the pompous people who purport to take this stuff seriously but are really just playing a game, and the ironist who takes the stuff much more seriously than they do, switched the sides that I would once have assigned them and crossed swords, and I think Stewart got the better of it.
Do you worry, looking back, and obviously as we all do, looking ahead, you're somebody who wants the world to be a better place. Do you worry that that won't always be true? Do you worry that you're going to become cynical?
I fear it. I don't know whether I worry about it, because worry sounds so rational, like I'd be judging the chances and trying to pick my way among them. But I fear it. I had a nightmare recently in which I had cause to despair, and it was the despair that was the centerpiece of the nightmare. So I do fear it. I hope I can tell you in 5 years that my life will have taken a shape in which I don't fear it so much. But yes, I do.
Jedediah Purdy's new book is called Being America. He's now a law professor at Duke.
Gotta keep those loving good vibrations.